Blog Talk Radio.
Armed Forces, men and women, police and fire service, men and women on the front line, first responders, and nurses and doctors fighting the war against COVID-19. Tonight's program, we're starting with a little dark side. A good friend, Sergeant Brian Levine, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, 31-year veteran, a father of five, a mentor, on and off the job, coached football, coached basketball for his children, was finishing up his last tour. He was 2 hours and 15 minutes away from his retirement when a gentleman took his car and ran into him and killed him. Brian had left behind his wife, Anna, and five children. And I know that you're listening tonight. We appreciate everything Brian did. He was a mentor to me personally, and a good man. So we want to say, as we say on the job, may he rest in peace, and good job, Brian. End of watch. Well, guys, it's going to be a very big night tonight. What do you think? Very big night for two reasons. One, we have a huge fight coming on, and the other is that we have our own resident filmmaker with us tonight. We miss him a lot, Mr. Ty. Welcome back. Glad you could be with
Thank
us.
You, sir. It's glad to be back, man. I'm grateful to be here.
So happy to have you back,
Ty.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. It's good to be back. Good to be back. Before I say anything else, I just want to send my prayers out to Anna and her kids, Officer Bryant's family, as well as, you know, all of us who have experienced loss recently. Just want to send the prayers out to everybody.
Thank you. Bob, you want to start with the number one fight of the night?
Yes, Bob, let's get excited, brother. I'm back for a reason tonight, sir.
Let's do it, baby. So yeah,
let's
we
go.
Got the notorious Conor McGregor coming back tonight for his second face-off against Dustin Poirier. And for $69.99, it can be yours, ladies and gentlemen. We'll even throw in a hat. But, yeah, the notorious is back tonight. setting the stage, but there's a lot of stuff, you know, working up to that. It'll be a great card tonight, so looking forward to it. Notorious coming back. This fight has so much hype and so much security. Dana White has done a great job of shutting down Fight Island in Abu Dhabi, even
yes.
to the point where one of his fighters didn't make weigh-ins on Friday. Undefeated Azader, 13-0 MMA career, 10 KOs, 2 submissions, and he was fired immediately on the spot, kicked out of the UFC because he decided and his crew to cut off their wristbands and sneak some of their buddies into Fight Island.
Yeah,
so,
what the hell was that?
Yeah,
like,
so
not
COVID
only could you have
yeah.
given everyone COVID, Bob, but not you caused an international incident, killed
yeah.
the business relationships. Like, he had to fire him. Absolutely had
yeah.
to fire him.
So, I mean, and good leadership on that note, you know, no, I mean, the thing is, you're 13-0, you got a shot at the UFC,
yeah.
you're in Abu Dhabi already. Why are these kids making these decisions? You know what I mean? I don't even get it. It doesn't make sense. Why just shoot yourself in the foot? But it happens in football, baseball, whatever, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
so get,
exactly.
You know, I don't understand it, but anyway. So, yeah, so Fight Island shut down tonight to make sure Conor McGregor can face off against Dustin Poirier. Their first matchup about 6 years ago, Conor took it to Dustin real quick, like, first round. Poirier has shown himself to very much evolve over the last few years and took
yes.
on some very, very good wins, like almost a whole new fighter. So
yes.
again, I'm really excited to see this matchup. I think, you know, I old me wants to jump on the, you know, McGregor wagon because, you know, the guy is an athlete, the guy can fight. I can't take that from him. But again, I, as an ex-fighter myself, it kind of happens to how you hold yourself out of the ring as well. You know what I mean? There's a lot of aspects to being a professional. And he dressed the dress, he walked the walk, but you know, you can't be doing that stuff. But again, he's a great athlete. I'm excited to see what he brings back. Connor's trying to make a name for himself because he's dropped far enough down the rankings after his little Floyd Mayweather stuff. And he went out and tasted some boxing money. So he's got to come back and put in his due diligence and do some fights. I'm excited for this fight. There's a lot of people excited for this fight on the Conor McGregor side. But I really want to see Dustin Poirier go in there at least, you know, give me good 3, 4, 5 rounds versus a single round knockout. But again, you know, I paid $60 back in the day to watch Tyson do it. I paid $60 to watch Ronda Rousey do it. I don't care if I pay tonight to see a 2-minute knockout either. That's what I'm in it for, ladies and gentlemen. Like, I hope everyone else is. But
yes, sir.
There'll be you know, Dan Hooker versus Michael Chandler, another good matchup.
That's the fight, Bob, I'm looking most forward to.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's the fight that has the most intrigue. Like, Conor and Dustin, you know, I saw it before. Dustin's definitely evolved, and, you know, Conor hasn't had as much cage time, so there's a case to be made there. But I still think, you know, when it comes down to it, I still think Dustin's a little hittable, and Conor's not the guy you need touching on you. So I still see, you know, I'd be surprised if Dustin doesn't get knocked out, even though I think there's a chance he doesn't and makes it a war of attrition. But the fight I'm completely intrigued about, because there's so many unknowns, is the Hooker-Michael Chandler fight. Really look forward to seeing how that plays out.
I 100% agree with that, yeah. Also, the Jessica Eye versus Joanne Calderwood. You know what I mean? There's the co-main event and main event are lightweight fights. So, again, you know, we've got to bring Khabib into the conversation, because is he retired? Is he not? You know, he showed up at Fight Island, and the reason, you know, Dana put Fight Island together, other than monetarily, was because, you know, during COVID, people couldn't come over to the United States and vice versa, et cetera, et cetera. Abu Dhabi, they can get everyone from everywhere, so he can still put all the greatest matchups. And, you know, the last couple fights, last Saturday and on Wednesday, you know, they're like 9 in the morning, you know, Abu Dhabi time. So I don't even know what time it is over there tonight. But
hey, dude, I was on the road streaming that Magny Casia fight. I was literally at a hotel room streaming that fight.
Fantastic. Yeah, Jessica Eye, Joanne Calderwood, that'll be a good, you know, I mean, the women, again, like we talked, you know, at the end of the last year, you know, he's got such a lineup with new talent and these women that are just awesome and kicking ass. So all behind that, you know, he's got middleweight fights, strawweight fights, and he's packing it up.
He's got a women's card opening the main event with Amanda Ribas, who's an up-and-comer. She's facing Marina Rodriguez, I think, is a great Muay Thai fighter, supposedly a really good Muay Thai fighter. But Amanda Ribas is the one who stopped the Mackenzie Dern hype train by taking Mackenzie Dern down and not being submitted, because her jiu-jitsu is really solid, too. So really looking forward to that fight. If Amanda Ribas wins, Bob, we could have a potential new contender at strawweight Waleed Zhang, the champion.
And, yeah, so he's just packing this stuff. It's going to be a great card tonight. He did a great job this week. Fantastic.
Yes, sir. Really looking forward to it.
What do you think the Max Holloway fight coming up?
Okay, so Max Holloway fight, that happened last Saturday. And to bring that up, so everyone's excited for tonight. And they're even talking that, you know, maybe Poirier, Conor McGregor, if Poirier could stand in there and not get knocked out real quick, it could be fight of the year. But I will tell you right now, if you have not seen the Max Holloway versus Qatar fight.
Calvin Qatar,
Calvin Qatar, like all my friends came over tonight to watch the UFC fight, but I've had them all come early just to make sure they watch that. That is definitely the fight of the year. Granted, it could have been the fight of last year. Max Holloway, unbelievable. He's a whole new guy. Max Holloway first got his shot years ago on a fill-in. Okay, so a last-minute fill-in for the UFC. At the time, he was the youngest competitor in the UFC. Now is only 29 years old. He's barely going into 30, and he's evolving.
And he's already a Hall of Famer.
Coming into his prime. You know,
at 29.
Yeah, at 29. And so, early 30s is you know, kind of your prime for this sport, because you settle down with your ring time. You know, you kind of do good, but you want to stay away from those 40s. But Holloway, in that fight, he set the UFC single fight records for total strikes landed and attempted, also significant strikes landed and attempted, also strike differential, also distance strikes landed, also significant head strikes landed, and significant body strikes landed. His fourth round also set the record for strikes and significant strikes landed in history of the UFC. The guy threw upwards of 200 plus strikes per round. It was insane.
That's insane.
Now, given it to Qatar, he stood there and took it. But is that really what you want to be known for? You know what I mean? You know, oh, that guy sure got a chin. I mean, that's a good attribute.
Yeah, that was literally like the most one-sided, exciting fight I've ever seen.
Right. For somebody to sit there and take that whole time.
Yeah.
And there were combinations were put together so smoothly, the transition, the head going, you know, the head to the body with the kicks. I mean, it was phenomenal.
Beautiful.
So anybody that's not a UFC fan, watch that fight. You'll be a UFC fan. You know,
Rollo was coming back with him. Not getting caught clean a lot of times, just rolling the shoulders after a combination. Beautiful work. Beautiful work.
And the end of the fourth round, was it the fourth round? Correct me if I'm wrong, Ty. So he delivered a sweet-ass combination on Qatar's face and then looked over at the commentators and started conversing with the commentators while he was head movement and making the other guy miss.
He turned and looked at the commentators and said, I have the best boxing in MMA. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Suppose,
as he's bobbing and weaving and not getting hit. Oh, and so he's getting like some Muhammad Ali attribute or credit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
he is.
Showing it off. Yeah.
And, you know, Conor McGregor was impressed with the performance and said, you know, Max is good and he could be, you know, another potential opponent again. A rematch with Max is not out of the line. Khabib said Max has the potential to be the greatest of all time. So even though Conor gave him credit, once Conor heard a few things, he said, hold up about this best boxing and MMA thing, though.
Right.
His face was a little marked up. You know, because Max says,
well,
I think Max may be the smoothest boxer, but, you know, Conor just has that power, so he's not taking as many shots because he's not in as long, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And they both have that extra little bit of reach, an extra inch or two on
yeah,
the end.
They
you know
do.
What I mean? Which
yeah, they're both
really,
very
I mean,
long guys, yeah.
Holloway just kept Qatar at length. He'd pop in, bong, bong, pop right out. Wouldn't have to move
beautiful.
A lot. Qatar was reaching. Yeah, it was filthy.
It was really good. That is a case study on striking, on MMA striking right there. Beautiful to watch.
Yeah, a clinic. That was pretty much a clinic.
Clinic,
so,
that's the word, clinic.
And being 29 years old and having a good, you know, 5, 6, 8 years ahead of him, depending on how much he takes, wow, the kid could just be, he's shooting for goat, you know what I mean? He's got potential. So we'll keep our eye on that. But again, too, I got some friends over there argue with me, and I like, people keeping me honest and giving me their opinion, that said that Qatar had no business in there with him. Yeah, he's got a good chin, but that was not a mess up, you know, and then we talked, you know, we moved forward into that division at 145, right? And because right now you're sitting on top with Volkanovski, and no one's going to touch him.
Yeah.
You know, he's taken out Holloway, I think, twice. And
fights were extremely close, but what he does that gives Max problems is he moves very well laterally in and out and throws the leg kick. And so, like, Max's boxing is tremendous, but he has to, you know, he's kind of, in a sense, almost like a Diaz brother, where he has to have his feet planted to let go. And Volkanovski does is a great job of moving laterally, throwing a leg kick, stepping in and out, but specifically moving laterally so Max has a hard time setting his feet. Max made some adjustments, and I thought he won the fight. I thought he was going to get the decision, but he came up short again. But, you know, what they're saying is that his performance made it a mandate that after Volkanovski deals with Ortega, Max is the next title shot, regardless of who's holding the belt.
And they're coming up, I think, UFC 260. So that'll be off, March, maybe? March,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
March 27.
Ortega and Volkanovski will do that. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the next one we have coming up is Alexander.
Man, if you want to watch it, Max put it on Ortega, too. That's a good, like, I've watched that fight a few times.
Oh, yeah,
times.
Right. Yeah.
Boy, and Brian Ortega was another one, taking it all for as long as he could till his corner threw in the towel, which I thought Qatar's corners could have done, too, Bob. I kind of didn't think he was going to come out for the fifth, actually. I thought the fourth was going to be about it.
Yeah, I almost thought, I heard that Dana White made a comment that it shouldn't have gone on past the third. And, you know, we were sitting here, and I you know, during the fight, I was like, I don't see that guy coming back out. As a cornerman, I would have been like, what do you want to do here? Because, like, you're not winning. you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, other fights, you know, you're you know, second round going to third, and it's like you're down a little bit, and you're like, hey, you need a knockout. But, you know, in that fight, there was no good advice you could have got. Tatar, like, hey, keep good job blocking everything with your face. Like, you're doing
great.
Right. Like, I don't – like, what do you want to continue doing? Because this isn't – do you have something magical you're going to pull out? You know what I mean? Because, like, throw some leg kicks or something, because there was nothing happening there other than him just taking shots. He couldn't reach him.
Yeah.
He couldn't – yeah, it was – he was coming up short all day. And
like,
yeah,
all they literally
say,
could say is try harder. That's all they could have said.
No, honestly, I'd say is like, damn, you got a good chin. You know, because that's the only compliment that can come from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, way to sit there and take it like a Mack truck, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
I honestly didn't think he was going to come out for the fourth. I thought it, but I didn't know Dana White said that, you know, he would have stopped it after the third. But it was getting to that. Because, you know, in fighting, like in football, you get outclassed, you get blown out. In fighting, once you get outclassed, you start to get beat the hell up, you know?
Yeah.
And it becomes really detrimental to your future. You can lose 42-0 in a football game and come back and be fresh next week. You can't do that
right.
in a fight.
No. I mean, and now, if any of that would have ended up on the ground and pound, I think it would have got stopped. You know what I mean? And that's the difference. You know, people
got
to understand the difference, too. Like, you know, not taking anything from boxing because, you know, we train in 16s at my weight and we go in there and we fight it with 10-ounce gloves. You know, we wrap pins differently because, you know, you can't put all that gauze on a wrist or on the knuckles because you can't get that into an MMA glove because those are only like 4 or 5 ounces. You know what I mean? So the whole game changes when you get those smaller gloves. And when you start taking that type of beating to the face, 200 shots to the mouth and face with
around
4 ounce, 5 ounce glove. Yeah, around.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's going to leave, you know, and again, so Tatar had, you know, I guess his neck strong enough where he could absorb that. I've had surgery. Mine would have snapped off like a dandelion. You know what I mean? You know, like that old game, you know, Mama had it or whatever, something, Buttercup, and you flick the head off or whatever. I don't even remember the game, you know, so years ago. But yeah, my head would have popped clean off. And
durability, it deteriorates. Like, that's one thing about fighting. Like, everybody, you know, has different levels of durability, but it's finite. It doesn't last forever. And, like, the more you take, the less you're able to take. So, like, that's why I kind of thought they would stop the fight. Yeah.
Me too. Somebody in his corner should have been smarter than him, and they weren't.
Agreed.
And unfortunately, that's the problem. I've had refs stop fights on me to where I thought I could have kept going, but you gotta when you're in the moment, and as a fighter, and anybody that's been in the ring knows, like, you're in there to win or die. You know what I mean? You're a combatant. You know, and so you rely on the doctors and the judges and your corner to be that voice of reason. You know, you can come back from this, you can retrain, but to take that kind of damage. So it's like, you know, you go back in history talking about, like, one brain fart right now, Iceman Chuck Liddell against, like, Rampage or something like that. Or, you know, they're like, they're taking apart Chuck Liddell. Well, they're taking apart the Chuck Liddell now. You know, Chuck Liddell at 29 would have
had
schooled this down.
Right. Yeah.
But when you're 10 years into taking those kind of beatings with that kind of scar tissue and that kind of neck damage, it changes things.
Yeah.
You know? So you can't go in there and take that kind of beating. So it just changes it up. You know, same thing watching some of the fights where guys just keep landing that leg kick and the guy could be fresh as heck, but I think I can't remember the name of the fight. It happened last week too, and he's kept letting that leg kick, kicking his leg out from underneath him, and he had to switch his stance, and then he was useless. You know, his leg hurt so bad.
I know exactly which fight. It was the shorter guy
They were bantam dudes or something, like 115ers or 125 or something like that.
Yeah, they were 125. Yeah, yeah. And he eventually had to change that stance.
Yeah, he changed his stance, and then he was all messed up. His timing's off, his distance off, his main power's off. You know, he was just in there holding on. You know, so again, you know, just we have so many different areas where we can be hurt. So I guess the credit goes to Qatar for having a good chin.
Yeah,
but we'll see. Hopefully tonight we see something again like that between Poirier and Connor. But you know,
I don't know if Dustin's chin can withstand that against Connor.
No,
that's the problem.
I think, and that's the thing. It's like I'm like I said, we're more excited about the Booker and all that kind of fight because that matters. Connor's probably going to take it to Poirier.
Yeah.
But
and
if
I like
something happens,
a great guy, great fighter,
great guy, and I'm behind it, and I want to see it. But it's just, I gotta be honest, you know. It's just, I don't see it happening.
If Poirier can avoid that shot, then we got a fight on our hands. Then we got a fight on our hands. But the problem is, and you know, everyone's saying, and this is the general prediction, right? Connor early, Poirier late. And I don't necessarily see it that way. Poirier has to really mind his P's and Q's in boxing. It only becomes Poirier late if he can avoid the shot, not just the stoppage, but avoid getting clipped consistently enough to where it's going to allow him to implement his game plan. Because what happens is when you're in a fight, even if the guy doesn't stop you, if he hits you hard enough to make you rethink how you engage him, then you start – allowing rounds to slip by. And
yes,
a power puncher can win a decision over a guy who's even, you know, maybe a better technical boxer, because this is going to be a stand-up kickboxing match for the most part, I believe.
Sure.
But that guy with the power can win a decision by literally landing a couple shots and having the threat of his power slow the other guy down. And all of a sudden, rounds go by and you've lost a pretty wide decision. So not only does Dustin have to, you know, avoid getting knocked out, Connor has a 2-inch longer reach advantage, so he has to avoid the shot, but he has to avoid taking the kind of damage that, again, prohibits him from implementing the plan, which would be to wear Connor down by attrition. To wear someone down by attrition, you have to be in the fight. So that's what Dustin has to do. It's a big ask to me. It's a big ask.
And we're talking difference, you know, between, you know, Holloway and stuff, and we're talking 45 versus these guys are cutting down to 55. But Connor's walking around with 170 pound punching counter, you know, all day long. And then even more, you know, he's gone up. And Connor with his unethical, I don't know what you want to call it, his stance. See, Connor will, like, Dustin is a great fighter, don't get me wrong. But Connor switches so good from southpaw to orthodox and back.
Yes,
like he'll throw something, he'll throw a hook kick to get you moving one way so he can switch his stance. Like he throws one move to set up the next, and that's what makes him good. You know, he's looking
at the
long. I just had this talk with my 18-year-old daughter. You live in the now. I said, you got a plan for next weekend, next month, next year, whatever. You know, and Poirier is more of a in the fight, in the now, and Connor's looking at two or three moves ahead.
Yep.
You know, I'm gonna throw this to move you that way, so you're heavy on this leg. I'm gonna counter with this, get you to move that way, and put you right back into my hand because you're concerned about my feet now. You know, he's so
like who can constantly put you in, like Connor's. You know, he's got 21 wins and 19 knockouts, right? 19 stoppages, and he constantly catches people with the – everyone knows the left hand is the kill shot. So when everyone knows what you're trying to hit him with and you consistently hit him with it, that tells you how you're setting it up. You know what I mean? And, Connor always comes out with some kind of – like early on he throws a spinning back kick or something. What he does is he throws a lot of techniques, like you said, to move you where he needs you. So,
misdirect you. And
very smart fighter.
Now you're not thinking about that left hand anymore. I've thrown this to go this way. I threw this to go that way. I came at you this way. Head kick, spinning back fist. Oh, look, you're worried about everything else. Here comes the left hand. You know?
Yep. And he could catch you going forward or catch you going backwards off the counter. He caught Jose Aldo, one of my favorite all time fighters, but he caught Jose Aldo stepping back
on
off the
back
counter.
Foot. Yeah.
Aldo actually touched him. Aldo leaped in with a left hook. He actually touched him with the left hook. But Connor stepped back, took the brunt off the left hook. His shot got there first. Bang. So he's so good at reading where he's really good at. And you know, I think this is a guy, Conor's a guy who I think would have made, if he had dedicated himself to boxing, he would have been a phenomenal boxer because he has a tremendous chin. And he's really good at reading his opponent and finding the shots that count. I think the thing about his cardio is a little overblown. What it is he's a fast twitch kind of guy. He's a fast twitch muscle fiber athlete.
Yep.
Those guys, fast twitch athletes, are not endurance athletes. Those are two different types of athletes. So he's never going to have the stamina, per se, of a Khabib. He's more dynamic and explosive than those guys. A dynamic, explosive guy, those fast twitch muscle fiber guys, they're not built for stamina, but boy, they are built for dynamicism. And that guy packs a wallop. And if Dustin can't put, Conor's just not going to gas out over five rounds. You got to push him. And to push him, you got to be able to. Yep.
You have to push. You have to keep it on him, and you have to grind him out. You have to keep him on the defensive the entire five rounds to have a chance without getting knocked out. And that's the kicker. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Your distance got to be there. Your timing's got to be there. And it's hard to for anybody. Like, one of my old pro fighters is here right now, and he's got those orangutan or gibbon arms, you know, kind of like Conor.
Oh, God,
you know,
he's
a knuckle dragger.
Go-go gadget reach.
You that's not fair. You get him in a corner, and you just pound at him, and you try to back up, and it's his game. Like, no one else should be able to reach you from that point.
And
he's phenomenal with that. He's a southpaw. It's ridiculous, Jeremy Hart. But anyway, Conor's got that extra thing, and it's really tough to get in there, and once you get in there, you've got to stay there. Otherwise, your transition coming back out is not going to be in your favor. You know?
Yeah. And not only does Conor have that extra, you know, that go-go gadget arm, but he's also really good at distance management. So you step in, like Jose Aldo stepped in, all he did was take a half step back and fire the shot. So, he's a very – I think what makes him so good is his confidence and his IQ. John Jones is another one. What is it about these guys with low character outside the cage but with tremendous, awesome fight IQ? Because John Jones is another guy who wins fights with his IQ as much as he does with his talent. Same thing with him.
Right. Well, then you got to put Anderson Silva into that bunch.
Anderson's another one.
He was a class act out of the ring, too, donating back to his country. So it can be done. You know what I mean? Until he broke his foot. And what's funny is these guys, like, I'm always telling, you know, the boxing and stuff, get that chin down. Get that chin down. Like, I will stuff a tennis ball under that chin. If you drop it, you'll give me push-ups. You know, keep that chin down. But if you notice Conor, Jones, Silva.
Anderson.
They've got that.
Yep.
Yeah, Anderson Silva. Their head's up, man, and they're just – their eyes are open 100% of the time. They are seeing everything. Like it's in slow motion, and they will miss you. They'll make you miss by an inch, not a mile. They're right in that pocket, looking for that counter. Boom, boom, boom. Because they know it only takes an inch to make you miss. You know when you make
somebody miss. I know you sparred boxing, and you know Muay Thai, obviously, just like I have, and of course with your experience, I'm sure you sparred kickboxing, a lot of different stand-up styles. Do you find that when you are boxing, like keeping your chin down is definitely prudent, but when you're fighting and you're using all your limbs, it feels like when you keep your chin down, you're not as loose and you don't see. It's funny because what made me think of that is when you said you see everything, and it seems like when because of the legs, you have to be looser and you have more to watch out for. So kind of tucking your chin, it kind of obscures for me. You know, it always, like when we're fighting Thai and I'm collapsing a pocket, right? That's when I tuck my chin. But on the outside, I always felt like I saw better if my, you know, I'm a tall guy too. If my head's up and I could kind of pull away and lean away, I always felt more comfortable that way as opposed to doing that when I was boxing. What about you?
Okay, so I agree because I'm a taller guy, 6'2", you know what I mean? So it's easy for me to keep my chin up, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I'm so much taller. But then, I feel if I keep my chin up, I'll tend to evade where I just lean back versus I shift my hips back and take that step. So to keep my chin down, and I teach all my guys, I go stare at my necklace. If the body doesn't move, Like everybody looking at each other's eyes like it's a date. It's not a date. I'm fighting you. I don't need to look you in the eyes. I know your necklace is center mass. Okay, I keep my chin down and look out the top of my eyes to look at your necklace. I know my head, your head's right above your necklace. I don't got to look at it. You know what I mean?
Nope.
I want to keep that down because then it just makes me feel more comfortable because those shoulders roll forward a little bit easier when my chin's down versus when I'm I'm more broad-chested, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
And then when you're staring at the necklace, you're using your periph, and you can definitely see the feet. You look at somebody's eyes, you don't see their shoes. You look at their chest, you can see their feet. And I don't care what you're going to hit me with. I want to see where your feet are because that's the power. I want to see which way you're leaning, you know, because I'm more afraid of people's legs than I am their hands, you know. And there's a difference there, too. Like the bob and weave for boxing, you guys can put your eyes on the floor versus I would never bend that far. I use my butt more and squat down and keep my eyes up when I go down because it's not the punch that you see that's going to hurt. It's the one you don't see, you know, and I don't want to catch a knee or a kick down there. So those kind of open you up a little bit.
Hey, bro,
a shin to the head is a little bit different.
I had been doing, you know, boxing for a little bit. But I had, you know, gotten to Muay Thai, and I just started training Muay Thai. And I'm much more proficient in Muay Thai than boxing at this point. But so I just started training Muay Thai, but I had been boxing for a little bit. So I'm training my coach. Shout out to Crew Paul Barry. I go to throw a body jab, and I get kicked right in my Adam's apple. Get kicked right by Adam's chin to Adam's apple. I was like, okay, this is a little different. Got to do things a little differently in this sport. You know what I mean? So,
right. Oh, and to talk about that, though, that brings us back to UFC. Oh, a guy we were talking about back on the Max Holloway Qatar card was Jacqueline Buckley. Buckley's been coming out knocking everybody out with those amazing spin kicks and stuff. And then he ducked down a little too far and let homeboy clip him in the temple with a shin kick. And I don't care how strong a punch you are, a shin to the temple is a little bit different than a right, you know, or a power left. And
you know what? It goes to what we speak to. He had kind of collapsed the pocket. He was nice and tight. I don't know if he saw the strike coming, but he went to dip like a boxer would, and he got caught. You can't it's just a different man. Those legs are something different. Love Muay Thai.
It's awesome. And hey, I want to throw that out there since we are giving you credits on your movie. If you're ever looking for a fat, bald, overweight, out of shape stuntman, you know, to do some kickboxing on your film. You don't want my face on there, but I'll take a dive or a punch for something.
You know I got your back,
guy.
I do documentaries, right? I do documentaries, and you know, just boxing, Muay Thai, like it's always been my dream to do a combat sports documentary. And I tell you, if I ever get around to it, I will definitely come rap to you, man. Take us all to film in Thailand too. That's a dream of mine. I've always said that I'm going to do a Muay Thai documentary. Just got to find somebody to pay me to do it.
That's the motherland. You
go
over there.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Hey, I'll hit up Matt Hume and he can get us over there and you know and get his tie-ins to China too because they got some good fighters. Oh, speaking of that, I have heard that Dana White is putting a lot of money into the Chinese fight system over there, and we're going to be seeing a lot more Chinese fighters come. Yeah, he's like doing a UFC gym over there, I think. Let me do some more research on that. It's kind of a rumor at this point, but I heard we're going to start seeing a lot more Chinese fighters coming in too. So we've got that going.
Dana White did that card in China, saw that crowd, and said, "We got to build over here.
We got some money over here.
We need to start building over here." Yeah. Yeah, he's a smart dude, man. Whether you like him or hate him, man, he is really smart and instinctual when it comes to promoting the fight game. Just really smart and instinctual at it.
First guy to bring back live sports during COVID, and the last two fights this week were the first venues to have people in the crowds.
Wow. Yeah.
He's got people in the crowds now I don't know. You got to have a boat to get there. You got to be rolling. I don't know. It's not me. But, yeah, you can – he's got people in the crowds for the first time. So, again, his fight
is funny because everyone crapped on him when he started, everyone crapped on him. Then, ultimately, every other sport followed the model that he created, except for their own island. But the whole bubble model that he created for his fighters, that the NBA turned around and followed suit in Florida, that like what they had in Orlando last year for the NBA was essentially Fight Island. Like, you know, it's funny because everyone, you know, shit on this guy, and then everyone followed his motto. And I'm not even a big fan of Fame because I like character guys, and his mouth kind of annoys me. But, you know, I also recognize the brilliance and what he's been able to do.
And the business ethic. Yeah, he's got great business ethic.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
If
there was just a tiny bit, you know, I don't want to say tiny, if there was more money rolling to the fighters, I would be blowing up Dana White's skirt. You know what I mean? Like, he is the all-time, the phenomenal. But he's in there to get his chunk and get out. You know, leave his legacy.
You know, and that's my biggest issue with him too, Bob. The fighter pay and the disrespect to the fight. Like, you pay them, you know, you pay a lot of the guy's shit, and then you, like, talk really bad about him too. So that's where my issue comes along. But as far as a promoter of fights, not necessarily a specific fighter, because you could be his fighter and he will crap all over you. But as far as a promoter and a businessman, the guy's brilliant, man. Brilliant and very instinctual. You know, I love that about him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got to agree with you on there. It's 100%.
I'm going to say one thing about Dana White and setting up the Poirier-McGregor fight. I said to my wife, I think I'll buy that. She says, why? It's only going to last about 3 minutes.
You got to enjoy the whole experience. Well, let me say this. First of all, I have not paid for any of the cards, boxing or MMA, that I've watched in the last 8 years. I do have a stream. It's not quite legal, but I do have a stream that I watch. I just literally forwarded the stream to my camera guy, and I said, dude, I've watched all my sports for the last 8 years this way. I don't even have cable anymore, but I watch the Super Bowl, the NBA, anything I want to watch. Unless Dana goes and gets that guy tonight, unless it's the guy, you know what I mean, who knows. But,
the streaming guy. Yeah, because there's a big thing on that right now.
Yeah.
Dana's like, I found you. I'm coming for you. You better not do it tonight.
I was like, watch the guy he gets is the guy whose stream I've been watching all these damn years. Damn it. So, it's the whole card. It's a good card. And, you know, what happens, and I think this is what I really like. And, you know, I'm a boxing junkie too, but what I really like about an MMA card is you're more likely to get a great fight from two guys you've never heard of. You know what I mean? So as far as the entertainment value from start to finish usually is really great. It's worth the money from start to finish. This is a top-heavy card, being honest with you. Like,
They're going to keep it. I mean, because it's such a top-heavy card, the prelims aren't going to be all that great. But, again, it's top-heavy. He knows he's going to get paid out. Because McGregor's got that pull. You know,
exactly,
it's all about,
exactly.
I mean, I hate to say it, like, and I don't even know who this dude is, but Jake Paul or Jan Ryan or who are those kids? He just talking smack
Jan
on the
Ryan.
Internet.
Jan Ryan,
you know?
Jake and Logan Paul. You gave him a girl's name. I love it.
Dude, I don't care. Yeah, I'll fight him, you know what I mean? But I'm nobody anymore.
He wouldn't fight you. He wouldn't fight you.
Right. But so, like, all the stuff, and this is what just makes me sick, you know, been on the show for over a year now, we've been talking about it. Back in the day, you were quiet. You carried, you let your fight, you're talking for you. You know what I mean? And now it's just the opposite. If you can sell tickets, if you can be a pompous ass, you know, then you're going to get some fights. It's not whether you're that good or not. I mean, and then so the ones like McGregor, Diaz, that are actually good and can talk that smack, they just excel, man. They excel.
Yeah.
They blow up.
Yeah, Bob, the other thing I was going to tell you was that if you get the Fire Stick from Amazon, you can watch 1,300 channels for nothing. And most of the fights are on
really?
There. Yeah.
Oh, because
I've
got
Fire
Stick.
Is supposed to be really good.
I'm married to the my wife's a square, you know, that like Marty McFly, you know what I mean? Everything has to be legal in our house anymore since when I got married. I used to run the other side of the tracks, but now I messed up. I'm paying Disney Plus on one side and ESPN Plus on the other side. I don't even have the bundle. Like, I'm just paying everyone their due, you know what I mean? Just full price. I'm full price McGee here. So, yeah.
Yeah, get Fire Stick. You'll love it.
Yeah, well, we have the Fire Stick. That's how we get the ESPN Plus and the Disney Plus. My smartphone hasn't come through on its end of the bargain. Okay, I haven't got smarter since I started using it. This technology is beyond me. You put me in a ring, I can do something.
Hey, yeah. Butch, how much did you say the Fire Stick is?
It was $25.
Only like $20-$35. Yeah.
$35 in general, or like $35 a month? $35 what?
No, $35. That's, you buy it. That's it. Plug it in.
That's
you buy it. Plug
Amazon.
It in the back of your TV, and you got everything you want. $1,300.
Dude, I'm getting
channels.
A Fire Stick Monday.
Hey, Amazon Prime, it'll be delivered tomorrow if you order it right now.
Great.
I'm telling you,
wow,
Amazon Prime
that.
Is my thing. Yeah. Fire Stick.
Dude,
I'm on my
know
second
it was
month.
Only 30, like, you know what? Honestly, I thought it was a monthly payment, and I try to avoid those as much as possible.
No,
$35 one time. Holy, it's a wrap.
It opens you up to everything, and if you don't have the app, you can download the app onto it. You know what I mean? And then you can get into whatever. Yeah, they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love I love you guys.
See, you learn something. You come around more often, you learn more of this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, this is literally the first weekend this year I have actually been home. I have been on the road filming I just came from Georgia. I just got back from Georgia last week.
I saw it. In fact, Mr. Trump had called and asked if you were the one that threw the election down there because he knew he won. But I said, well, the fight's down there.
I tell you what, you know what? It's funny. I was in Florida a few months back, and you know, except for when we went to the sports pubs, everybody was kind of following, you know, protocol and social distancing. I go to Georgia, and we're in like we're in a sheets or someplace, and this lady, no mask on, but she's looking at my cameraman who was like, just for whatever reason, just going overboard with hand sanitizer. And she was looking at him like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I was like, yeah, we're in Georgia. We're in Georgia.
Yeah, driving across the country, you know, when we move from the East Coast to the West Coast, you go through all these different states mid-COVID, everyone's got different, you know, rules. You hit Georgia, they look at you weird like, why are you wearing that mask? You know, you're out in the place.
She was looking at him. That's exactly like she looked him up and down. Me and my producer were sitting behind him. We were just laughing because she was looking him up and down. And then he was again just going a little overboard, in my opinion, with the hand sanitizer. But she was just like, "Who is this guy with this mask thing on?" It was just it was hilarious. But that's part of the reason why we're down in Georgia. You know, I got to do these interviews for this documentary, and I'm like, all right. I can go to states with Republican governors because the restrictions aren't as stringent as they are in certain other states. That's the game I got to play. So,
sure. Hey, Ty, what do you think? Canelo finally has come out and said that he's going to fight on the 27th of February. what do you think of that fight?
So he's fighting, God, I always have a hard time pronouncing this dude's name. He's a Turkish dude. His last name's Yildirim, and his first name's like Avril. So his name's like Avril Yildirim. Yeah, I know I'm pronouncing that slightly incorrectly. So the first time I seen that guy fight was a few years back, and then I saw him fight Chris Eubank shortly after that. And Eubank knocked him out in 3 or 4 rounds. It's funny because Zito and I to this day always laugh at how the guy got up. He literally got up and started looking around like, what just happened? You know what I mean? It was just really an exaggerated kind of response to getting knocked out. So it's pretty funny. So that's kind of how I remember this guy. Saying that, he's no competition for Canelo. With that said, Canelo's just coming off of fighting the ring champion at 168. This is a mandatory. So if he doesn't fight this fight, he gets stripped. You know what I mean? So some people are poo-pooing on this fight because this is not the elite level competition. But this guy has earned his mandatory shot, and Canelo has to do this if he wants to go ahead and hang on to the title. On top of it, he's doing it in February, so it's just 2 months. So because he's defending his mandatory, obviously doing it in February, he's fighting more frequently, more active. So I think it's a good thing. I'm looking forward to it. He'll probably come back around and fight Cinco de Mayo like he usually does, and that could be somebody probably a little bit more formidable. But, you know, the guy's had a run of, you know, Callum Smith, in spite of how the fight turned out, that was recognized as the number one guy at the weight. He's coming off of that with Kovalev and then Danny Jacobs, Gennady Golovkin. So, you know, if anybody deserves not a soft touch but a step back in competition, if anybody deserves to play the Eagles right now, it's Canelo. You like my reference, play the Eagles, a step back in competition?
How about the other one I want to ask you about was Arthur Bedivez coming back in the ring in March 20th with Adam Deneer.
So he was supposed to fight Deneer. That fight was supposed to either have happened or maybe even be happening this weekend. That fight was supposed to be in January, but one of those guys got COVID. I think it was it Beterbiev or was it Deneer? One of those guys just recovered from COVID.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he got COVID, and you know, that's one thing Dana White, you know, talking about Dana White again. One thing he's been smart about doing is making sure, and boxing's been picking up on this too, making sure they have guys prepared in the wings in case somebody gets COVID, because you know the fighter himself doesn't have to get COVID.
Smart
somebody
move.
On his team
smart
gets
move.
COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody on the team gets COVID. A coach gets COVID. The fighter's pulled. So the whole team is pulled. So Dana White, again, was making sure he had standbys, and boxing has been doing that lately too. But, you know, obviously, you know, if you get it beforehand, they'll cancel the card and just postpone it. And that's what happened with BF.
Yeah, they put it back now till March 20th.
There's a fight tonight between Stephen Fulton and Angelo Leo, a boxing match tonight. And that fight was supposed to be a couple months ago, but Fulton, who caught COVID, so... This is the reality we live in right now.
Right. And we got Josh Taylor and Teofimo Lopez coming up real soon, too.
Yeah, that's one to look forward to. That'd be interesting. That would be very interesting.
So, I want to throw one out on the boxing card just because I'm a GOT fan, GOT or whatever. A Game of Thrones House Star Bajorgison. The mountain, nicknamed Thor, one of the strongest men, is going to fight another strongest man, Eddie Hall, nicknamed the Beast, in September, I think, in a boxing match. And this guy, we're talking, you know, 31, 32 years old, 6'7" versus 6'2". You know, I don't even know if their weight is 30 stone and 5 pounds versus 25 stone. I don't even know what the stone is. It's heavy. It's heavy.
300. They're pushing 300.
You know, they're dead less than 500 kilograms. That's an automobile if anybody's not paying attention. And then,
hey, Bob, did you see
the mountain?
Did you see his exhibition this past weekend?
With Connor? Oh, no. I saw the one against
Connor
a while back. No, I didn't see that.
Connor.
You
could check it out on YouTube. He had a boxing exhibition against a real pro fighter, a smaller guy, but it was a legit boxing exhibition.
Is there
he ended
a bigger
up knocking
guy?
The guy down.
Is there a bigger guy?
He fought a better guy, like he fought a more competent boxer.
Oh, sure.
And it was an exhibition. But he looked at, you know, it's funny, like I said, if you get a chance, check it out on YouTube. He was surprisingly light on his feet. I was like, he looks a little lighter on his feet than I was expecting. He's the mountain. Mountains aren't light on their feet. He's, you know, he moves pretty well. So I was surprised.
Well, any big guy that can move like that is phenomenal. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Good.
See those big thunder domes still kicking off each other.
We're just about up on our time here. Bob, thanks a million for everything. You're always well prepared, and I appreciate everything. Ty, always glad to have you back, brother. You bring so much to the program.
Love when
can you tell I was excited to, I was about to say, can you tell I was excited I was missing Bob? Can you tell I was missing Bob? Can you tell?
Oh, yeah. Right when he picked up the phone, he called me. And the fact said, he's like, hey, Ty's on tonight. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I was like, man, I was so excited to talk to Bob. Not even a lie.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you as always. I appreciate it.
Hey, enjoy, Bob.
All right, bye, guys. Thanks.
Enjoy the fight, bro.
Yeah, he's already he's got a beer waiting.
The fights are already on. You know, he's hit it. He's got company. Yeah. He's in his element, man. That's awesome.
Another Chris.
Yeah.
Now you want to leave?
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's been a great show. So good to be back on with you guys, Bob, Butch. Shout out to Zito, who's not here with us tonight. Bob is our co-pilot. Coach Mel is watching over us. And Dr. Chris always keeps us laughing. Everyone have a good week. Good to be back.
Yeah, I want to send a special shout-out to Zito tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you just don't get a chance. You hear all these guys talking on the radio, and you don't get a chance to find out how deep they are. Zito is helping someone relocate, a homeless person relocate and find a place to live tonight. So we want to make sure that everybody knows that and what a great guy he is. And he comes from tremendous stock. His mom and dad were tremendous people. His brother's a great guy.
Thank you,
sir. And we appreciate everything they do. These programs are brought to you. Well, these programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty, but most importantly, they're dedicated to those three guys that have really made a mark in the world. And that would be Bob, Coach Mel, and Dr. Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. Grateful appreciation to the women in the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of police and fire services, as well as the men and women on the front line in fighting COVID. Please, when you're out there, please wear your mask. Please use a hand sanitizer. I don't care where you live or anything else. It's not just for your good. It's for my good, too, that you do that. We've got to clean this thing up. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their life in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcott, Sergeant Thomas Batinger. Excuse me. Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Handler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogo of Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Klein, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Rodney Bunn, Delaware State Police, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Arta Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, excuse me, Clay County Sheriff Clay Zerba, L.A. County Sheriff Deputy Natalie Corona, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Office Bob McKinch, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patroller, latest entry, Sergeant Brian Levine, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we're going to be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roadway up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night. God bless and please have a great week.
Shem alech ma yelama. Shem. ma sol nashen vorat fet akuig gem ma
responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.